Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, we'll look at the rich man Lazarus a little bit here today by the grace of God. And we'll understand some people say, well, that's not literal. That's just a parable. And he says, well, no, because it's got names in it. The parables don't name people's names. This one mentions Lazarus because it's literally something that literally happened. And we're going to look at this today by the grace of God and hopefully glean some things from it. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I want to beg you to do that today. You don't know if you have the promise of tomorrow, but you do have this promise. If you put your trust in the shed blood on Calvary, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you'll live forever. And if you reject that, you'll be cast into the lake of fire forever. And we don't want to see anybody go to hell. God died so nobody had to go to hell. Nobody has to do that. And God's long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here today and you've never come to repentance and trusted Christ, please realize today is the day of salvation. You may not have tomorrow. In Luke chapter 16, the Word of God says, there was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that he died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in his flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Luke chapter 16. So we see the last, before we get into the message, the last verse here was a prophetic statement of Jesus Christ rising from the dead. Talking about the Jews, if they don't hear the Moses and the prophets, if they don't accept Moses and the prophets and the prophecy of their coming Messiah, they're not going to believe in Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and they didn't. They didn't. But I want to focus. I mean, we look at the rich man, and we look at Lazarus, but I want to focus for a little bit this morning by the grace of God on the rich man. The rich man had things. He had things of this world. It said that Lazarus was at the gate full of sores, and he was just desiring to feed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. So the rich man had all this stuff that if the world looked at him, they'd say, well, he's doing pretty good. He's doing all right. And in the Jewish setup, you'd say, well, if that guy has all this stuff, God must be blessing him. You know, and we tend to think that way sometimes today if we're not careful. If somebody has all that stuff, God might be blessing him. I mean, if Bill Gates has that money, God must be blessing him. Amen. If Warren Buffett has all that money, God must be blessing him. If Trump and Biden have all that money, God must be blessing him. And the truth is, it could be the devil blessing them. If you look at the way they live, it's probably the case. Amen. But you look at that rich man, and from the outward appearance, you'd say, that guy has everything going the right direction. In the Old Testament, when God was blessing somebody, they were blessed physically, and when he was cursing them, they were cursed physically. There was just a lot of physical things going on. But that rich man had a lot of things of the world. It said he fared sumptuously. Now, I'm kind of a hillbilly. I don't understand exactly what sumptuously means, but it's pretty good, amen. It's better than just scraping by, amen. If you're just scraping by, you're not doing it sumptuously. I know sumptuously means he had a lot of stuff. I didn't even bother looking it up because I know that it meant good stuff, amen. As far as the world was speaking, that guy was doing all right. But the first thing I want to see as we look at this rich man going down through these verses, in verse number 22 and 23, it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." The first thing I want to see is his destination. His destination. Even though he had all the stuff that the world had to offer, even though that he probably had the finest clothes and the finest shoes and the finest outfits, the finest camels. I don't know what he had. He had the finest horses, the finest of things the world had to offer. He probably had the best wine and the best meals and the best servants. And you look at his house and say, there's a mansion. That guy's got everything. He's probably got gold faucets like old Trump has. You know, he probably got all that stuff going on. And he had all that stuff the world had to offer, but his destination was hell. His destination was hell. And here we are looking at the other guy, the opposite side of this, Lazarus. He didn't have anything. Worldly speaking, I mean, he's laying at the gates full of sores and suffering and just looking for crumbs to feed on. He's the guy that I will work for food sign, right? And he looks like he has nothing, and he doesn't go to hell. Because there's a determining factor on heaven and hell, and it's not. Now, I understand Abraham's bosom. I know where we're at dispensationally. But there's a determining factor between heaven and hell, and it's not money. It's not golden faucets. It's not emeralds and diamonds and silver and gold and platinum and all that stuff. And it's not having a house full of servants. It's whether or not you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. So basically what it boils down to today is whether he that hath the Son is not condemned, but he that hath not the Son is condemned already. So if you have Jesus Christ in your corner, if you've realized that you're a sinner, for all sin to come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, you deserve to die and go to hell, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, if you have that and you understand that in your heart, and you get up to the verse that tells you about Jesus Christ, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You believe Jesus Christ died on Calvary and he shed his blood, which was God's blood according to Acts 20:28, and you believe that, and you believe he did it for you, and it becomes personal, and you call on him. That Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you call on him and say, look, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm not talking about, look, Lord, I joined the Baptist. Look, Lord, I've changed. Now I'm a Methodist. I've got a church membership with the Nazarenes. I got a church membership with the Methodists. I got a church membership with the Baptists. And every once in a while, I watch the Pope on TV, but don't tell anybody, just to cover all my bases, amen. Just in case I'm wrong somewhere, I'm doing all these good things. And then, oh yeah, by the way, I sent money to Jerry's kids once. And those wells over in Haiti, I didn't really send any money over there, but I prayed about it once when I was watching Pat Sajak, or whoever that guy is, on the 700 Club. One of those game show hosts. Anyway, I was watching the 700 Club, and I prayed before I put my hand on the TV, and I felt something. Well, you need to get your electrical grounds checked, amen. I mean, you'll feel something, a little bit of static. There's a lot of static coming through the TV, amen. Comes through the radio, comes through the Baptist sometimes, amen. But he said, I felt something. And the Lord said, no, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you could die and go to hell from the Baptist church. You can die to go to hell from the pews of the Methodist church, Presbyterian church. You can pick a church. Just pick a church, any old church. You can die from that church and go straight to hell. If you reject Jesus Christ, that's what will happen. Amen. You can go to the wrongest church there is. Is that a word? You can go to the most messed up church there is, and somebody could tell you about Jesus Christ. You can call on him, trust him as your Lord and Savior. Never do anything right the rest of your life and go to heaven. But see, the rich man, when people looked at him, they thought, this guy has it made. But his destination was hell. His destination was hell. So we see his destination. Look at verse 23 and 24. And in hell, that is a true place, by the way. Hell is a literal burning fire. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. We've seen his destination was hell. Now we see his desperation. You know what his desperation is? He just wants somebody, if they could just touch the tip of their tongue with water, because just any relief, if I could get any relief, any relief at all, I'll take it. He wasn't coming back out of there. Oh, he will one day. He'll come back to the great white throne of judgment, and God will judge him guilty, and he'll be cast into a lake of fire. Death and hell will be cast into a lake of fire. He'll spend an eternity in fire where he still won't be able to get a touch, somebody to touch his tongue with water. But he was desperate. You know what I'm desperate for today? I want somebody to get saved. If you're in here today and you're lost and on your way to hell, I'm begging you, don't leave this place lost. I mean, you could, like I said, I don't care what church you belong to. I want you to belong to the right church. Don't get me wrong. But I don't care about your church membership. I don't care if you've been christened, dunked, sprinkled. I don't care if you've had Jell-O put on your forehead. I don't care what they did. I don't care if you got your ashtray out of your car and marked a big X on you. I don't care whether you curse yourself before you eat every day. I don't care whether you do all that stuff. I don't care whether you went and kissed the Pope's ring and Billy Graham was your favorite preacher until he got up there, he was goofed up and didn't realize there was a real hell and he got all crazy on stuff. I don't care if you watched him for 25,000 hours over your lifetime. I don't care if Billy Sunday was your favorite preacher or if J. Frank Norris was. By the way, if you're in J. Frank Norris' company, you got a good man there. That guy, he saved the fundamental movement. He saved the Baptist Church as far as I'm concerned. The Lord used him to save the truth. One of the men that he did. But you can belong all that. It doesn't matter. What matters is what you do with Jesus Christ. What you do with Jesus Christ. Well, the Catholics are wrong here, and the Methodists are wrong here, and the Presbyterians are wrong here, the Nazarenes are wrong here, the Southern Baptists and American Baptists, they're wrong here, the Independent Baptists, everybody's wrong somewhere. But I'll tell you what, you better be right on salvation. Because his destination, no matter what he had in this world, was hell. And his desperation was begging for somebody to just give him a little bit of comfort, a little bit of reprieve from that torment. And that torment's going to be there. He'll get a short reprieve while he stands at the judgment seat of Christ. And that'll be hell with his knees knocking, waiting to get cast into a lake of fire. But his desperation, he was begging somebody for help. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad Jesus Christ died for my sins. He died for yours too. His destination was hell. His desperation, as he's being bathed in the eternal torments of flames and damnation, he is begging for somebody to touch the tip of his tongue with water. Could you imagine that? If you're here today and you're lost, I want you to imagine that. Being bathed in the flames of damnation for eternity. And no way out. His desperation. Look at 27 and 28. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Talking about Lazarus. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come in this place of torment. That's just desperation again. First of all, he's desperate for somebody to help him. And when he says, Lazarus is not coming to you, he gets desperate again. And he says, look, I've got five brothers. And if Lazarus can't come help me, would you at least send him to my brothers so they don't come to this place of torment? See, his life's over. He's in hell, and he's begging somebody to reach his brothers to keep them out of it. You know what I'm afraid? I'm afraid our lives are winding down, whether it's the rapture or the undertaker, and our lives are winding down, and we're going to stand before Jesus Christ, and we're going to wish we'd have told people about him. He wished his brothers wouldn't go to hell. But it was too late for him to do anything about it. But he's desperately begging Abraham to send Lazarus to tell his brothers how to stay out of hell. You realize what you've been given? I'm a King James Bible believer. I believe every jot and every tittle. I heard Jack Hyle say this one time. You guys laugh at me because I believe in verbal inspiration. He says, I believe in jot and tittle inspiration. Amen. I believe God inspired that book and gave it to us. And that's our authority. I believe that. But what's in that book? Not just the fact that we believe it. It's the call to preach it. And I'm not talking about just from the pulpit. I'm talking about given the truth of the gospel of Paul, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the blood shed on Calvary to wash away our sins, to our family, to our friends, to our loved ones. People we really don't like. There are people in this world I don't like. There are people in this world who don't like me. Probably four or five of them in here. I don't know. Hang on. The numbers may grow. But the thing is, I wouldn't want anybody to burn in hell forever. There are probably a couple people come to your mind when I say that, and you think, yeah, but a little short stint wouldn't hurt them, amen? Maybe they can vent purgatory for just them. But would you want anybody to burn forever? You know, God doesn't. That's why he made a way out. His destination, this rich man's destination was hell. His desperation was for somebody to touch the tip of his tongue in water. That wasn't going to happen. So now he's desperate for somebody to tell his brothers so his brothers don't end up in the same mess. His brothers probably have a similar situation. They probably got things going on. They probably have his stuff now, amen? All the rich man's stuff. And they're probably thinking about everything but God. You know what Lazarus, you know what the rich man says? Please send somebody to my brothers to get them on track. Get them on track. Look at 29:30. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. His determination. He was determined to try to get somebody to keep his brothers out of those flames. You know what Paul said? Paul said he'd wished himself a curse that he could save, that God would save Israel. He was willing to trade, he was wanting to trade his soul for Israel to get right with God. Here this guy, his desperation, his determination, and he's begging. Please don't let my brothers come here. I know they might not understand, but if one comes from the dead, they'll understand. He's determined. How determined are you to see people saved? How determined are we? I was thinking the other day, I'm ready to get out of here, man. I mean, my ticket's punched. I'm on the right road. I'm on the narrow path. I'm on the blood of Christ. I know where I'm going. I wish he'd call us out of here like yesterday, man. I talked to the Lord about this. Me and him don't always see things eye to eye. You believe that? You probably don't either with the Lord or me. But you know what I told the Lord? I said, you know, Lord, I wasn't bragging. I'm just saying, this is just the way it is. When God saved me, he lit a fire in me to tell people about him. I want other people to know about Jesus Christ. I don't always want other people to know about Jesus Christ. Sometimes I want people to stay away from me. I want to stay away from people. You ever get that way? I just don't want to be messing with you. You're probably going to thumb your nose at it and ridicule it anyway. I said, Lord, over the years, probably handed out thousands of tracts. He said, how about the thousand you didn't hand out? Lord's always got an answer, right? Lord, surely out of thousands and thousands of tracts over the last 20 years or 25 years or whatever, somebody's got saved that I don't even know about. He said, what about all the people you didn't hand tracts to? Amen. Every once in a while, I'll be sitting in Walmart parking lot, and I just get overwhelmed with the feeling that everybody around here is probably going to hell. You ever get that way? You just watch people running around doing their thing, and they got their TV, and they're smiling. This TV is bigger than my car, right? They got to go rent a U-Haul so they get their TV home. It costs more to rent a U-Haul than the TV's worth, but they haul that thing home so they can put that blasphemous piece of filth up on their wall and watch stuff that God wouldn't even allow for a second if he had his way. I'm not saying there isn't some stuff that God would say, whatever, watch it. But there's stuff up there. They go get this giant TV so they can skip church and watch a football game. Amen. 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 And they're so excited about their TV, they knock the beer off the bottom of their cart. Amen. And then they're so worried about the beer, their TV falls off. And then they finally get it all in the U-Haul, and here comes another cart with six guys and holding the beer on it, and they're going toward the U-Haul with the. They're getting their TV, and they're getting their booze, and they're going to have their day worshiping Satan. Amen. That's what they're going to do. And they're getting all that stuff together, and I look at that, and I think, man, these people are going to die and split hell wide open, and they have no clue what they're doing. They don't care. They're not thinking about it. They don't realize that the grave could be their home in 3 or 4 days. And they're just living to try to get everything they can out of this world, just like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I got me this, I got me that, I got me this, I got me that, I got me this, I got me that. I got me men singers, I got me women singers, I got me this, I got me that, I got the other. All is vanity and vexation of spirit, he said. It's all worth nothing. I mean, I'm sure there's probably somebody's done it. Somebody's probably said, well, when I go, I want my big screen TV and my car with me. Amen. And I want the newest version of the iPhone. Amen. With a really good case. Because that's important. Because that's what people think. I mean, they don't think eternally. They think, what can I get? You know, we've talked about this before. You've seen the bumper stickers. He that dies with the most toys wins. No, he that dies with Jesus Christ won.
Amen.
How about dying for Christ while you're alive? Amen? It was too late for the rich man. It was too late for him to get out of hell, to stay out of hell, and it was too late for him to talk to his brothers. But it's not too late for you. It's not too late for us. I mean, his destination was eternal flames, eternal damnation. His desperation was to get somebody to touch the tip of his tongue in water or to tell his brothers, since that wasn't going to happen. His determination, he said, look, please, if one rose from the dead, my brothers will listen. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. They don't hear them. They're not going to listen. You know what's interesting to me? Look at 19 and 20. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. I like that word sumptuously. Still not sure what it means. To me, it makes me think of ice cream. He had a lot of ice cream. So he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. His identification. You notice that? I just noticed this yesterday reading this. There was a certain rich man that fared sumptuously. Goes to hell. Then there's Lazarus. Goes to Abraham's bosom, which those folks end up in heaven later. What had happened? His name had been blotted out. His name had been blotted out. He didn't even have a name now. Because you got a book. You got the book of life. Everybody that's ever been born is in that book of life until they die without Christ. Or they die out of God's will in the Old Testament. Then you got the Lamb's book of life where he writes your name in there. And it's indelible. You can't get that out. In this church age, anyway. He don't even have a name. He's just that rich man. You know what he's probably living for? His name. Think about it. Donald J. Trump. Joseph Goofball. I don't know who that guy is. I don't care what his middle name is. Francis, I don't know what it is. They're living for that name. Churchill. Reagan. Now, Reagan he was a pretty good fellow, you know, had some issues. But Reagan. Hitler, boy, he's got a name, doesn't he? He doesn't now. Spurgeon. Billy Graham. All these names. And I'm not saying these guys weren't living for the Lord, a lot of them. But this guy's name's gone. That's all he had. That's all he had because he was trying to build up his name. He had the stuff of the world, and people looked at him and say his name was Bill Smith. And Bill over there has got Jim Smith, Tim Smith, whoever he is. I can pick on Bill a lot. he's got this name. You ever seen Tom Smith's mansion? You ever been to one of his dinners? And when somebody mentioned his name, they go, oh, yeah, that's the guy down there down the lane that's got the big house. He's got the Maserati. He's got the Lamborghini. He's got the finest camels back then or whatever. He's got the best men servants and women servants, and he gives himself everything he wants. And, boy, he's just a great guy. And now he's got no name. He's just the rich man. You know, God wasn't impressed with his name. Something about Lazarus impressed God. It was his faith. It wasn't his fortune. It was his faith. It was his faith. Where's your faith? Is your faith in the finished work on Calvary? Is your faith in your fortune? The rich man, his faith was in his fortune. His destination was hell. His desperation was to get somebody to touch the tip of his tongue with water. His determination was to get somebody to go to his brethren, even though they said no. His identification, he's just a rich man. Just a common, ordinary, everyday rich man. They're all over the place. When you get to heaven, it's not going to be, oh, Bill Gates. It's going to be, oh, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise His holy name, Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ. My Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Won't be Warren Buffett.
Amen.
Won't be Tom Brady.
Right.
Won't be Brett Favre.
Yeah.
I don't watch football for so long, I'm going to name names most of y'all don't even remember, probably. It won't be any of those people. It'll be Jesus. You see, what happened was the rich man, whether he knew it or not, was trying to put his name above the name of the Lord. Now he doesn't have a name. been blotted out. It's been blotted out. Has your name down, been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life for trusting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Or will you just skate through to the end and fall off the end and go, whoops, my name's gone, and end up in hell, desperately seeking some relief, desperately wishing somebody would have told your brothers and sisters, and determined to get somebody to go to them? When God says, hey, rich man, rich woman, you're just worried about things of the world. You forgot about me. His destination, his desperation, his determination, his identification. Verse 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The culmination of this thing. In Amos chapter number 8, it talks about a famine in the land, a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. And it says right here, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, you know why? Because they weren't hearing the word of the Lord. And that's what's going on today. They're not hearing the word of the Lord. Part of the reason they don't hear it is because we're not preaching it. We look at their TV and we go, oh, it's a nice TV. I could up mine. I could probably get a 52-inch and be 2 inches bigger than you. And you're a saved person.
That's right.
Just walk on past a nice car, brother, or nice car, or nice this, nice that. How about, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Every once in a while, I'll pull a track out of the car door and it'll be why I abstain from alcohol or something. I'm going, I'm giving this to this grandma. That's all I got left, you know. So I'll put that in my pocket, find another one. And I'll stick that in the Budweiser thing or something at the... I figure if I poke it in the beer carton, maybe the right drunk, the Lord knows what he's doing. He'll pick that up, and he'll read that, and he'll go, well, maybe I ought to get right with the Lord. Amen? If nothing else, he'll stand at the judgment seat, or the great white throne of judgment, and God will bring that back to his memory. Remember that day where you were getting ready to drink all that booze, and I put that track in there for you? I used Bozo to do it, but I did it, amen? Amen? But we think about, look what we've done, but look what we haven't done. Look what we haven't done. Look at the people we haven't tried to reach. I'm not talking about people that are just bullheaded, that you've told about the Lord, that you prayed for, that you've given tracts to. I'm going to tell you what God told me. What about the people you haven't? What about the people you haven't? Sometimes I stick 6-8 tracts in my pocket and get in Walmart. By the time I get in there, I got one left and I'm looking what to do with it, and then two or three people walk by and the Lord says, give them a track, give them a track, give them. I'm like, oh, I got one left. What do I do with it? Well, give it to somebody and feel like a fool and walk back out of the car and get more, amen. But what about the people we haven't tried to reach? The culmination of this thing, the reason that people end up in hell is because there's a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. You know what's interesting in Amos chapter 8? God says he'll send that famine. Because he got tired of fooling with them. You want to listen? You want to worship false gods? You want to take on the pagan stuff? You want to mock me? You want to ridicule me? You want to thumb your nose at me and my judgment? I'll just give you a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. You know why things happen in the United States of America? God sent a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. He said, well, there are churches everywhere. You couldn't throw a rock without hitting a church. Yeah, but find one that's preaching the word of the Lord. How about find one that believes they have the word of the Lord?
Amen.
If I didn't believe that book, I'd quit and go get drunk.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
By the grace of God, the devil's not taking that from me.
Amen.
I believe this book. I believe that there's a literal heaven, there's a literal hell. He's literally my Savior. I'm going to see Him one day, spend an eternity with Him. I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to be disappointed in some things. He's going to get me right forever. And we're going to come back to the Battle of Armageddon, defeat the beast, the false prophet, rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. He's going to cast the devil in the lake of fire after that and on into eternity. I believe that.
Amen.
I believe it. I believe this book. And I don't care who says I'm a fool for believing it. I believe this one. If you've got one that's other than this, that's a different version, I don't believe it. I believe you have it, but I don't believe it's right. But I believe this one, and the devil, by the grace of God, is not stealing this from me. You know what he's done? He's pulled it out of the church houses. He's pulled it out of the church houses. He said, well, I've been to 5 other churches, and they all preach the Bible. But did they believe it? You know what that book says in Hebrews? That it didn't affect him because it was not mixed with faith. If he can't steal your Bible, if he can steal your faith in your Bible, he can steal your closeness to Jesus Christ. If you don't believe the book, you won't read it. If you don't believe the book, you won't preach it, you won't teach it, you won't spread the gospel, you'll quit. You say, well, I'm still praying. You don't believe the book, you won't grow. You won't grow. You know why? Because there's always going to be a seed of doubt. There's always going to be a seed of doubt because you don't have a book. We talked about this in Sunday school. I'm going to point to my imaginary list here. The tenets of the faith. The Bible is God's Word. And the second one is the Bible is the final authority of all matters of faith and practice. What it comes back to is not whether or not the legislature in Indiana or Ohio say it's right, it's whether or not God says it's right. Right? Well, I'm going to quit drinking Bud Light because they put a transgender on the can. Well, you shouldn't have been drinking that trash anyway. But the problem is you got preachers out there don't believe the book, couldn't write it, divide it, don't understand what typology is, don't understand what wine is, new wine and old wine, and they run around people to, well, Jesus drank wine, so you can drink a little bit, and then you got a bunch of drunks running around there saying they're Christians when all they are saved people living like the devil, if that.
That's right.
Why? Because somebody stole the book from them.
Amen.
Well, God don't care, you're just legalistic. No, I'm doctrinally trying to be doctrinally sound. Trying to be a good pastor. Right? You say, well, he might be wrong. Well, how about err on the side of caution? I might be right. He might be wrong. I might just go get drunk anyway. Well, how about no? How about just say, well, you know, even if he's wrong, at least I'll be right with God if I don't do it. God's not going to say, hey, you should have got drunk.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
God's not going to say, well, you know, that Bible I use, I don't care what the devil's people use. The Bible I use, you don't like it? That's all right. The Bible that I've used for 400 and some years? The Bible that some of the greatest preachers that ever preached out of? The Bible that some of the greatest revivals and the most powerful sermons have ever come from? Just do whatever you want and then go get drunk. It don't matter. You think God's going to say that? You think you're going to get to heaven and he's going to say you were too legalistic and you wanted to be too clean for me? Quite contrary to that. What it's going to be is, hey, you know what? You thought you were something you weren't. You thought you were closer to me than you ever were. And you let the devil steal that book. And you let the devil mess you up on doctrine. And you let the devil cripple your witness. One of the things we had on the board this morning, I'm going to point to the imaginary list again, was that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's right here if you don't see that. It's right here. The ministry of reconciliation. We're supposed to be preaching the gospel to people. We're supposed to be telling people, hey, heaven's real, hell's real. I don't care what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. Kick them off your porch. Tell them to go back to their little devil church down the road and lie to people down there. I wrote them letters like that. They send stuff here that comes in this mailbox that tries to feed this garbage. I write them a letter back, tell them to quit working, living for the devil and quit feeding their filth to the people around here. I'm not going along with it. They're going to know somebody in this town stands for truth. I'm not perfect. I don't rightly divide perfectly. I'm not the best Christian there ever was or any of that stuff. But I'm not going to bend to that garbage. Hell is still real. And they're still going to burn there even if they say they don't believe it. Unless they trust Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. And the Mormons and their magic underpants and all their temple worship and all that garbage that they do, they'll burn in hell too because they don't believe Jesus Christ. They don't believe Jesus Christ died for their sins. He's just like a salt and pepper shaker for them. Put them on my good works. We talked about this in Sunday school, the imaginary list here. But we talked about this in Sunday school. They don't believe in virgin birth. They believe that God was a man and God got to be so good that he became God. And God as a man come upon Mary while she was a spouse to Joseph. So they had some kind of a mess there. And it was a physical relationship. They don't believe that in a virgin birth. I don't care if they're the best family people in the world and they get a commercial on every radio station and every TV program. And I don't care if Pat on the 700 Club has them on every week. I'm not going that direction. I'm not trying to please the 700 Club or the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses. I want to be right with God. I want to be right with God. That rich man, his destination was hell. His desperation was relief. And when he couldn't get that, he was desperate to see somebody witness to his brothers. Tell my brothers so they don't come here. And then his identification was gone. Just a rich man. If you're a child of God, you have a name. You've been born in the family of God. But if you reject Jesus Christ, blotted out of that book forever. Blotted out of that book forever. First of all, this guy, he wished, man, I wish I'd have not focused so much on the things of this world, and I wish I'd have paid more attention to God. Guarantee he was thinking that. And when he found out that that water was never going to come, that thought just ramped up. I wish I'd have paid more attention to God. I wish I'd have paid more attention to the Moses and the prophets, amen? The word of the Lord. And he says, not only I wish I'd pay more attention, now it's too late for me. I wish I'd have paid more attention so I could have pointed my brothers in the right direction. You don't have to worry about burning in hell if you're saved, but you will have to worry about one day wishing you'd have told people that you didn't tell. Time's short. Time is short. I wish that we lived in this fantasy utopia that some of these liberals want to conjure up. Conjure, I think, is the right word, too. I wish that we did, you know, and everything was just roses and lollipops and everybody was happy, happy, joy, joy, and we were getting better and better and God was just so happy with us and He was getting happier and happier and all that. And, you know, I could get in here and tell you, you know, just be the best you can be. Just get yourself some money. Of course, give it to me, because if you don't give it to me, God will probably take it from you. And when I get 3 or 4 jets and a couple mansions and a $500 hairdo and $300 worth of grease in it to make it stick, then we can all just be happy. But those things are temporal. And all that stuff's going to pass away. You have to worry about your destination and your desperation and your determination and your identification. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Do you remember a time in your life when you called out and asked Jesus Christ to forgive you and save you, trusting in His death, burial, and resurrection? Because if you haven't, you're not saved. I'm not talking about knowing the date. I'm not talking about knowing the hour. I'm talking about remembering when you called on Him, trusting Him and Him alone, realizing that you deserved hell. I'm not talking about joining the Baptist church. Any old fool can do that. Hang around long enough, you realize that. Any of us can join a Baptist church, amen. Any of us could join the Methodist church. Any of us could join the I'd have a hard time doing it. Well, we could join the Presbyterian church. But are you saved? I'm not asking if you've been sprinkled or dunked or christened. I'm asking you, have you been born again? Because without that, let me tell you about your destination. It's hell. And all the desperation and determination won't change that. And your identification will be that person. But you can fix that today and you become a child of God. Child of God. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. The world's trying to explain away hell. 2/3 of the preachers out there don't believe it anymore. Probably half or more of the Bible colleges teach that it's not even a literal flaming place anymore. But hell's just as real as you are today. And hell's just as eternal as it's ever been. Fire is just as hot, and it may be getting hotter. And the desperation and the determination of those people in that destination are just the same as it was when they got there. And it'll never change except for a short period of time where they stand before God at the white throne of judgment. Are you saved? If you're not saved, if you've never realized you were a sinner, and called on Christ, trusting Him and Him alone. Do that before you leave this room. People don't go to heaven because they're Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian or Lutheran or what have you. They go to heaven because they belong to Jesus Christ, because they've called on Him. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. If you've never called on Christ, your Lord and Savior, please, I'm begging you, don't leave this room lost. Don't go to the destination of the rich man. Go to Jesus Christ. Don't let this opportunity slip away. If you're not saved, call on Him now. Here today, and you've got loved ones you're worried about, and you haven't told them about Christ. You've got neighbors you haven't told them about Christ. Maybe you never told anybody. Maybe there's a ton of people you'd like to tell, but you don't know how. You're nervous. You're afraid. Fear of man bringeth a snare. Don't worry about people thinking what people think of you here. Worry about what the Lord thinks. Grab a track off the track rack. Grab a handful of them. Grab a pocket full of them. Grab what you want. We'll get more. Hand them a tract. Tell them it's a gift from Gateway Baptist Church if you don't want to talk to them about it. But make sure you get the gospel in their hands before they go to that destination. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Gateway Baptist Church, that's that little church. Oh God, there is no little church in God. There's a big work God wants to do in some little people. And He wants to use you. He wants to use us. Oh Lord, help us.